It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Talking about Mother's Day today, sort of. Mother's Day performance for the last several years we've talked about with Kelly Thompson and Symphony in the Valley. This time teaming up with Paul Denkers, the music director of the Aspen Choral Society, for not only instrumental music, but also some fantastic singing. Of course, it's not unusual for you to have singers with symphony, either special guests or that kind of thing, but this time more of a formal couple groups getting together to put this event on.
Right. It's a lot more numbers this time. It's a full choir as opposed to just your occasional singer or small group, so this is going to be quite fun. The last time we did something like this was, I think, about 5 years ago with the high school choirs. In Rifle and
that.
Glenwood. Yeah, we did that along with Colorado Mesa University, and that was very fun, and we did that about Christmas time. But this is the first time we've ever done anything with Aspen Choral Society.
So Paul, from time to time I will ask Kelly, okay, how do you define a full symphony? Okay, so I'll kind of ask you sort of the same question. He said, they've performed with singers before, never a full choir. So how would you define a full choir?
Well, that's a tricky question. I'm not sure that there's one answer to that.
Funny, that's what he always says when I ask him about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But a choir is made up usually of the four standard parts, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, and you try to balance those numbers evenly. So if you've got eight tenors, eight basses, eight sopranos, eight altos, or something in that range, you could have, if you had eight on a part, then it would be a choir of 32. If you had 16 on a part, then it's a choir of 64.
Your math is a lot better than mine is.
I actually had to think about that for a second just to make sure. My math tables might not be as secure as some of my other knowledge.
I guess depending on it, I can do 64, 128, 256, right? 512.
Computers help.
Kelly, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Powers of two.
So how many folks will be performing at this show?
In this case, we had just over 70 people RSVP to sing with us. We've had... I'm not sure where the numbers are at currently. We've had a couple of people who got sick and had to drop out, or who had plans changed and had to drop out. But in addition to that, we also have a children's choir of about 17 children that are going to supplement the choir, because this is not – it's a piece not just for choir and orchestra, but also for children's choir as well.
So 70 singers and how many members of symphony? Around 50-some?
Yeah, it varies. For this concert, too, we are limiting the size of the orchestra. The rudder piece, the mass of the children that we're doing as the grand finale with Aspen Choral Society and the children's choir doesn't have a full orchestration to it. I mean, it's not a tiny orchestra by any means, but it doesn't include all the instruments. And if we're going to fit on the stage in front of the choir, we have to limit a little bit too. So we vary in size. The beginning of the concert is full orchestra and just orchestra. Plus, we are being supplemented by High Country Sinfonia, which is a string group that was started by Wendy Larson just a few years ago, actually. And she's a former conductor of Symphony in the Valley. In fact, she was a performer at the very beginning, and then one of the first conductors for about 15 years. And she's coming back and guest conducting a little bit with us. And then, of course, she's bringing her High Country Sinfonia. And then they're going to perform a few just on their own as well.
So will you be playing the trumpet while she's guest conducting?
It was offered, but we have a full trumpet section, so I'm not needed.
Okay. Oh, I think everybody would disagree with that.
Well,
Paul, as the music director, what does that entail? Would you be similar to Kelly as the conductor of symphony?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm not totally sure exactly what all the shoes he fills.
You don't get a baton.
Yeah, no, I do.
Okay, all
yeah.
Right.
So I conduct with a baton also, and I always pick the music for each concert season, and also attend all the board meetings. And in addition, I help with some of the technology ends of it. So in that regards, I think we are probably pretty similar.
Yeah, from that standpoint, you both have to know all of the members that you're working with, their strengths, you know, what in Kelly's place, what they play. In your case, what their range is, mm-hmm. right, their singing range. And in a lot of ways, that means you have to be experts in everything everybody else is doing, yeah. so that you can pull the show off, right?
Well, I think we probably have better singers. I know we have better singers in the choir than I am, but but luckily, all I have to do is wave my arms. I don't have to actually sing up there.
And usually, we only have to count to four. But in this case, Rudder Rudder is all over the place. He's 3, 5, 7, 4. So
yeah. in the same song.
Within one of the movements of Mass of the Children. I believe we counted 32 time changes in one movement. So that keeps you on your toes.
It does. It's going to be a real – I'm going to feel like an octopus up there conducting that thing.
Yeah.
Are they at least similar?
No.
No. Okay.
No, he's right.
Wow. So you're going from like 4-4 to like a waltz and stuff like that? I mean,
well,
or even worse.
Yeah, it's worse than that because it starts off in 5-8, which you conduct with one long beat and then a quicker beat. So 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4. So that's hard enough to think about as a musician, but it's hard. You know, we want to add that sixth beat in there. We want to make them nice and even. That's what we're born to do, but you don't get to do that in this. And then they throw 7, which is 1-2-3-4-5-6-7, 1-2-3-4-5-6-7. So, yeah, it's fun.
I thought that 3-4 was complicated enough.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of 5-8 time.
Well, it's becoming increasingly done in modern compositions and musical theater and stuff when they sometimes want to do something that has kind of an angular feel to it, that it's not as symmetrical.
Well, it's, you know, a typical artist. Mm. Oh, that's been done. I can't do that now. Well, I've got to do something different.
Yeah.
Somewhat, but also, I mean, Rudder is an amazing composer. I mean, he's one of my favorite choral composers, and this is just, especially that movement, the Gloria of Mass of the Children, just really sounds beautiful. So you'll really enjoy it,
especially with a big choir of 70 singers and then 17 kids on top of that.
Right.
Yeah. I
and,
would say
and of course
that
symphony as well.
I would say that when he does use these different meters, it's not just to show off his compositional chops. See, I can write in 5-8 and 7-8 and 4-4 and 3-4 and 5-6.
Can you keep up?
Or 5-8 or whatever. But he actually, I think when he does use these different meter signatures, it actually serves a higher musical purpose. And it really does sound cool when you hear it. The audience may not even be aware that they're hearing different meters because it is very musical what he's doing.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're right. I guess that comes back to the whole, I don't know anything about art, but I know what I like. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sure. Again, the Mother's Day shows this year, Symphony in the Valley with the Aspen Choral Society. You can get tickets on either of the organization's websites. So aspenchoralsociety.org, SITV.org. The shows are at in Aspen. Where in Aspen?
On Harris Hall.
Yeah, we're in Harris Hall.
Harris Hall, beautiful place.
Yeah.
The lovely acoustic.
Oh,
we've performed there before. I think both organizations have performed there at different times, but it's a real privilege to appear on that stage.
Plus, it's got a nice big stage.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's one of the few stages in Aspen that can accommodate the forces of this size.
That's Friday, May 10th, is the Harris Hall show. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, May 11th, at the Ute Theater in Rifle, both of those shows at 7 o'clock. Then the matinee, scheduled intentionally to accommodate the Mother's Day Mile, which, of course, happens that morning. That starts at 4 o'clock at Glenwood Springs High School on Sunday, May 12th. Tickets for all three performances are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. There are some discounts for families and seniors, that kind of thing. You can find those on, again, those respective websites, sitv.org or aspenchoralsociety.org. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about the program. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting with Paul Denkers from the Aspen Choral Society. They're teaming up with Symphony in the Valley, conducted mostly by Kelly Thompson, except, of course, for the one time when Wendy is going to step in, the former conductor. I want to say she was the conductor when you started with Symphony.
Yes, she was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a Mother's Day show again this year on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. On the 10th at Harris Hall in Aspen, the 11th, the Ute Theater in Rifle, and then back in the middle at Glenwood Springs High School on Sunday, May 12th for the matinee, late matinee, starting at 4 o'clock. Let's talk a little bit about the program, shall we? Again, Kelly, you mentioned the program starts with the full symphony, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a Mother's Day show. Will you have some Mother's Day-themed songs?
Well, I mean, I think the Mass of the Children is probably the best one to bring that in, and that'll be our grand finale of the show. But starting off the show, we're going to do Crown Imperial by William Walton. That is a coronation march. It'll sound very much like graduation. In fact, you will have heard it at graduations in the past, I'm sure.
I will the following weekend.
So yeah, you'll probably hear it again. But it's just a really neat English march. If you listen to some of Walton's stuff, it pretty much all sounds the same. it truly does. But this is, I think, one of his more famous and better ones.
If it works, why not keep doing it?
Yeah. And this is also our 25th anniversary season, and so we did bring back several things that we have done in the past, and Crown Imperial being one of those. Wendy is also, like you said, conducting, and she is bringing back a couple of things that she had conducted in the past. She's going to do Variations on a Shaker Melody from Appalachian Spring by Copland, and then the Egmont Overture by Beethoven.
So is that the same Copland, Aaron Copland, the guy that did Fanfare for the Common Man?
Yes, it sure is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the first, maybe 15, 20 minutes of the program?
Well, I kind of skipped around a little bit. Okay. I'm doing a couple new things that haven't been done in the past. It's actually a fairly new arrangement. It's called Appalachian Morning by Robert Sheldon. It's not related to the Appalachian Spring of the Shaker Melody that we just talked about, but a similar title. But otherwise, it's very different and just a beautiful piece. And then I'm doing a piece just with the wind ensemble, so the winds and percussion from the symphony. And it's Fallen, Fallen is Babylon, and that's by Jared Spears. Jared Spears is Arkansas State University, one of our members, Van Merritt, went to school, and he was one of his faculty folk when he was there, and so he knows him personally and had done this piece in the past. And we've done some other, in the symphony, done some other Jared Spears works. In fact, he added strings to a piece for us a few years ago, which was kind of neat to do too. So anyway, that's one of the other things that we're doing. And then that gets us up to intermission. And right after that, we'll add
there. Would be one.
There, yeah. we've got to set the stage for the choir at that point. So we'll, after intermission, do All Things Bright and Beautiful. That's another John Rutter. And that was my choral selection. I sang that when I was young, and it's one of my favorite Rutter pieces, so I'm going to conduct that, and then pass the baton to Paul.
I was going to say, you get to conduct? You're not going to sing?
I do. Well, I was going to try to sing, and schedules have just been crazy, but anyway.
I hear you. I'm sorry. And then you're going to pass the baton to Paul?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so Paul, you'll continue from that point, and What pieces do we have? Remind me the first song that you mentioned, Kelly, from your childhood.
All Things Bright and Beautiful, it's called. And okay. It's from the hymn, is that right, a psalm?
It's I guess it's kind of an anthem that John Rutter wrote, I think, probably in the 1980s, maybe?
Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly modern, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, that's. I was going to ask the two of you, classical music, and obviously you can sing any type of music. You can play any type of music in a symphony. For the most part, symphonic pieces I think of as, you know, 18th, 19th century, really old. You know, there are, at least I have not heard any top 40 symphony songs in my lifetime anyway. So I was going to ask, how do you go about choosing these pieces? Is there a symphony director's newsletter that comes out, once a month, or a trade magazine, or how do you pick these songs? Because you're obviously very knowledgeable, Kelly. How do you do that?
As far as, you know, the stuff that's been around for a while that you're just talking about, those are kind of the standards.
We know. Like the 1812 Overture.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, for new stuff, there's multiple websites online, and I try to kind of keep up with what's new. And, we try to do some thematic concerts from time to time, like movie themes. And
that's right.
And that's always fun. And you just go out and find music from one of the more recent movies, and sometimes that's hard to find, but a lot of times they'll have a medley or something. It's kind of fun. So.
That's what are all these payments to the movie theater on the expense report? Oh, I'm doing research.
Right, yeah, exactly. How'd you know?
Paul, from the Aspen Choral Society's standpoint, how many shows a year does the Choral Society perform?
We do two shows a year. We do the Messiah in usually the first or second weekend in December, and then we usually do one spring concert as well. And the spring concert is where we get to branch out and do other repertoire.
Okay. So is this your spring concert?
Yes.
On the Mother's Day? Okay. So talk about the rest. We kind of touched on the first song there that, you know, Kelly's going to conduct that first song that he remembers so well when he was from when he was younger. And then take it from there. When the baton is handed to you, take the show from there.
Yeah, so I would echo what Kelly has said about John Rutter. I would say that probably in the 1980s, as pop music really became what everybody was listening to, there were a lot of genres that almost disappeared on us. Musical theater, you know, for example, had the big hits of like Oklahoma and Sound of Music and stuff, but then it kind of had tapered off. Choral music also was tapering off. And about that time, we had some composers come on the scene that revolutionized those genres and made them accessible to modern ears. In musical theater, I would say like Andrew Lloyd Webber, for example, stepped into the field with Phantom of the Opera and so on. And all of a sudden, musical theater became a thing that people were excited about again. It generated a lot of enthusiasm for the genre. That's what John Rutter did for choral music. In the 1980s, John Rutter came on the scene and started composing these wonderful, beautiful, tuneful melodies with interesting, exciting rhythms and harmonies that have popular influence, I would say. It was, you know, so you can hear things that are reminiscent of the Beatles or other popular harmonies that you don't hear in traditional classical music. So I think for our modern ear, classical music sometimes can sound distant to us. It doesn't appeal to our modern sensibilities as much. And I love it for it the way that it sounds, but I think for people that are not accustomed to hearing classical music, it can be difficult to adjust to those sounds. Whereas John Rutter, I think, is much more accessible to a modern ear. And so when we were talking about doing stuff a collaborative effort. He was the first person that I looked at for something, and then when I found this Mass of the Children, it seemed like the perfect thing for Mother's Day, and then to incorporate younger singers as well, and an orchestra that enjoys modern music, and our crowd, which is also in people who enjoy modern music. I thought this is a piece that will be accessible for everybody. And so that was kind of what went into that choice.
It's, you know, you're both so articulate. I feel so out of place here. Hearing you explain this and just all the influences and all of that. And again, I come from, you know, the lay perspective typically of, that sounds really good.
Well, and that's what we hope. We hope that an audience can come to this and say, they don't have to go away saying, wow, that was different, you know, or, you know, they can come to this and they can sit back in their chairs and relax and enjoy the beautiful sounds. And they don't have to know anything about music or they don't have to have heard the piece before in order to enjoy it.
I guess that's actually the definition of a great performance, isn't it? A great performance, when it's done well, the audience has no idea about the preparation and everything else that went into that performance because it just is.
One of the best compliments that we got after we did the Nutcracker this Christmas was when we did it in Newcastle, we were kind of off to the side and the dancers were on the stage. And one of our audience members who's been at many of our shows said, at one point, he forgot that we were there. He was just watching, and the music obviously was at least perfect enough that he was able to focus on the dancing, and it was just there. And that was a good compliment, even though you say, well, how could you forget we were there? But no, that's really what we were after at that point.
Spoken like a great manager, too. Perfect enough. Well, there's always room. I mean, no, seriously, as managers, there's always room to improve, right? I mean,
it's a live performance, and it's always going to have, you have to stay in the present as you're performing and not let yourself get taken down when you make a mistake, because you will make mistakes.
Again, if you would like to see the Aspen Choral Society with Symphony in the Valley, the Mother's Day show, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. Friday at Harris Hall in Aspen at 7 o'clock. Saturday, May 11th at the Ute Theater in Rifle at 7. And then the Sunday matinee at Glenwood Springs High School at 4 o'clock. Again, there is a discount for seniors and, you know, families, so groups, if you will. You can learn more on each of the websites, which I'll give you here in just a minute. Again, those tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. And those websites are sitv.org and aspenchoralsociety.org. So, you know, if it's you and your wife, buy one ticket from the Aspen Choral Society, buy the other ticket from Symphony in the Valley, and then you keep everything.
It's all going to the same place.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yep. It doesn't matter which where you go.
Wherever's convenient. It's fine.
I was trying to keep everything even. All right. Back in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Kelly Thompson from Symphony in the Valley. Paul Dankers from Aspen Choral Society. They're teaming up for a Mother's Day show this year on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. Details and tickets on each of their respective websites, sitv.org or aspenchoralsociety.org. To kind of finish the thought that I had in the previous segment that I almost forgot, yes, classical music and the choir singing is not as much a part of popular, you know, top 40, if you will, music as it once was. Having said that, there are certain songs that employ both. You know, we play a Sarah Evans song called Slow Me Down that's got some symphony and some plucked violins in it. There's a Montgomery Gentry song called Some People Change that's got the big, I almost think of it as a church choir. You know, back in the 80s, Paul, where you're talking about, Madonna's Like a Prayer features a big choir toward the end of the song. So there's still those little glimpses in popular music and culture, though, yeah, maybe not as much as we would have heard it, you know, back in the 40s or something like that. One group that we touched on earlier that we didn't really focus on, we could maybe give a little more time to, Wendy Larson, again, previous conductor of Symphony in the Valley. She's been doing High Country Symphonia, or I should say she's been part of High Country Symphonia for the last few years, and they will be performing some pieces on during the Mother's Day show as
right,
well.
Right, yeah. Wendy plays the cello in that group. And you know, they don't need a conductor. It's just a string group. Oh, I say just a string group. It's an incredible string group from the Aspen area. So they do a really good job. It's a lot of the folks who are the private lesson teachers up there, or folks who have been playing for many a year and are just, you know, really incredible. We're thrilled to have them join the symphony. They're going to be, you know, a part of the whole show, but then they will break off and they're going to do three pieces themselves as their spring concert. So we're kind of bringing three spring concerts together all in one for one low price. And if you
done,
act
Kelly.
Now, yeah.
Plus, we'll throw in this Gabe bobblehead doll for only, you know.
If you're supplying them, sure. But anyway, they're going to do Mozart's Divertimento in D Major, just the Allegro, the first movement, Bach's Orchestral Suite Number 3 in D Major, five dance movements from that, and Romanian Folk Dances by Bela Bartok, which all of which should be very impressive. I've gone to a handful of their concerts over the years, and they're just really good.
And you said Wendy Larson plays the cello?
She does, yes.
Is that what Jan Michael Vincent played on Airwolf? I ask you this every time.
Yes, you ask it every time,
so.
And it's still true, yes.
You downdrafted an eagle. I won't share any more lines from the old, you know, 80s TV shows. Again, it's a Mother's Day show. Obviously, the big Mother's Day connection is that John Rutter grand finale. Tell me the name of the song again. I didn't write
Mass
it down.
Mass of the Children.
Mass of the Children. Mm-hmm. Again, that'll feature 17 kids from the Aspen Choral Society Choir. Also with the 70 Aspen Choral Society singers and, of course, members of Symphony in the Valley backing them up. I can't think. I mean, it's going to be just a huge event. I mean, grand finale, I think, will probably fall a little bit short of actually describing what it's going to sound like. Again, it's the 25th anniversary season of Symphony in the Valley. Mm-hmm. How long has Aspen Choral Society been around?
We're just wrapping up our 41st season.
Wow.
So we'll be performing our 42nd Messiah this December.
And that's every year you've done the Messiah for,
yes.
Which is, I mean, you think about Christmas music and that's kind of, you know, you hear it so often. And as far as choral music, that's it.
Yes. You know? Yeah. It's like doing the Nutcracker or the
right.
Dickens Christmas Carol. It's,
yes.
It's kind of obligatory around Christmas time.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, water music obviously was another... that would be more for the symphony, I suppose. Also,
yes.
Same composer, Handel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's interesting. During the break, we were talking about composers' first names. I don't remember Handel's first name, so I guess I'm kind of disproving my own point about first names and composers.
Right.
Kelly was right. I would make a bassoon of myself before the end of the conversation. Eventually, right. I do it every time we talk. Anything else? Again, there's a large number of sponsors for both Symphony in the Valley and for Aspen Choral Society.
Absolutely.
So check the program and the websites if you want to know who is responsible for helping make this event happen and for keeping ticket prices low, because that's kind of how it works.
Right.
Yes.
The sponsors kind of help you pay for the hard costs, and then whatever the gap is, that's how you set the ticket prices.
Right. And, you know, we're certainly, both groups are always more than happy to have more sponsors. You can visit our website. We both have sponsorship pages on there. And, you know, Harris Hall is not a, you know, they don't just give that place away. So anybody that wants to assist with that, we'd be happy to still
please.
Accept.
So, again, check either one of those websites. And we've talked about this from time to time. It's not necessarily common, but if there's someone that would like to sponsor a song, so to speak, you can also talk about that, I imagine, mm-hmm. for Aspen Choral Society as well, right, Paul?
Sure, okay, absolutely.
Yeah. I know Kelly and I have talked about that from time to time. Actually, maybe they can be involved in our little project we've been talking about.
Yeah, some of the music we have done has been fairly expensive. We did, for example, Schindler's List.
Yeah, I imagine that was not free.
Yeah, and it was kind of an expensive piece, but we had it donated by an anonymous donor who really liked the piece and wanted us to play it. And so, you know, certainly, yeah, we're happy to, if you have some thoughts, something you'd like us to do, let us know.
And, of course, contact information on each website as mm-hmm. well. Again, it's aspenchoralsociety.org or sitv.org. Again, tickets for the Mother's Day show are just $15 in advance, $20 at the door. And, again, there are some discounts for seniors and, you know, larger groups like families, that kind of thing. You can find details on the websites about that. Again, it's Friday and Saturday, May 10th and 11th at Harris Hall in Aspen and at the Ute Theater in Rifle, both at 7 o'clock. Then the Sunday matinee at Glenwood Springs High School at 4 o'clock on Sunday, May 12th. 70 singers, 17 kids, about 50-some members of Symphony in the Valley, plus, of course, the members of the High Country Symphonia, mm-hmm. Featuring former conductor of Symphony in the Valley, Wendy Larson. It's going to be another great show. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for having us on the show, Gabe. We sure appreciate it.
And I'll tell you this. I will be searching the web for John Rutter compositions, I'll tell you that, so that I know what I can expect. Obviously, I mean, there are just so many different options in terms of composers. So for the two of you to both like someone as much as it sounds like you do, that sounds like somebody I should go check out.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, all the best. I don't know if it's appropriate to say break a leg in your businesses, but
Why not?
Strain a vocal cord, break a string.
Break a reed, yeah, break a string. Yeah, okay.
All the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.